Let's get on to today's topic. Again, we are talking about Leadership Sandpoint. It's a program of the Sandpoint Chamber, and it's raising money this year for the NAMI Far North, specifically for the Clubhouse Project. And we have with us Allison Dunbar, the Chamber President, Becky Grace, Leadership Sandpoint Class President, and Don Mira with NAMI Far North. So let's start out with you, Allison. Fill us in on what Leadership Sandpoint is.
Yeah, so it goes through the Chamber of Commerce. Our Chamber of Commerce has been around since the 1920s, and the leadership program was started in 1993. The leadership program brings in leaders in our community who, from different backgrounds, different levels, you don't have to own your own business. It's just all sorts of leaders in our community, nonprofit, business sector. And we do some skills evaluations, skill building, leadership building, some board training, and just sort of partner with the community and give back. We also do a fundraiser every year, which becomes a big component of the class as well. The class is 2 years long. So the first year you do the classes, the second year you facilitate the next year's group, and then you get a fun little graduation ceremony. And it just in the last 10 years, we've had about 160 graduates. And that's just 10 years out of the almost the 30 years the program's been going on. So hopefully we're contributing a lot to the community. And hopefully, you know, from a chamber's perspective, we want to support businesses by creating leaders. We want to support our many, many nonprofits by, you know, giving them a good board base and, you know, hoping that they have good volunteers to choose from. And just a fun fact, Mickey Quinn, who's our new director at the Chamber, we're so glad to have her come in. She was a graduate of the leadership program many years ago, so it's been going on for a long time. And anyone can apply. You can apply online. You can check out our website at sandpointchamber.com. And let us know if you have any questions. Reach out to the Chamber. Let us know if your business wants to send somebody, or individuals can certainly join us as well.
So how big is a class?
Classes, we cap it at 20 people, so we usually have 15 to 20 people. It depends on how many quality applicants we have, and really we just, when evaluating applications, we're kind of seeing if people are ready to do that, right? And just depends on the applicants, and we usually lose one or two people throughout the season because it's a whole, you know, it's a two-year program. But 20 people is enough to make it feel like we're doing something and enough to get it all done, but also small enough we can all get to know each other and make, you know, we make connections with the community at large, but it's also really important, I think, to make the connections within your class. You get the benefit of knowing everyone in the class and what they do and about their sector.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go through the curriculum a little bit more. I know it involves really kind of a deep dive into the many different aspects of the community. And I don't know if, Becky, if you want to take this one, but what are some of the classes you guys are having this year?
Absolutely. It has been absolutely wonderful to experience the diversity of our community, both economically as well as just our social issues that face Sandpoint at this point in time, and the greater Bonner County. We started off the year really getting to know each other, so we spent the first class doing a fair bit of trust and leadership development, which was a great chance to meet our fellow classmates who come from really a whole mix of different industries. We've also had the opportunity to study the education, the challenges within our education system, within our community. We met at the charter school, had the opportunity to meet various members of the school board, principals, and we talked about some of the real life issues going on for our children. That was eye-opening. We've had the opportunity to understand the law enforcement within our community and just a great appreciation for all that they do, most of it being unseen support behind the background to ensure our community is safe and well taken care of. And
so,
then,
so does the class include speakers that come and speak to the group? Do you guys do field trips?
It's a mix. Yeah. So we just went actually out to the mill and had the opportunity to go and see how they do make the lumber. I mean, it's incredible how the various sources where they get the wood. There were a number of alumni who were also a part of past classes who can speak to some of the challenges that they have. So we go out there, we have speakers, and then we usually discuss various economic or social challenges that are facing either that particular industry or across industries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that one in particular was the whole anchor of our economy.
Absolutely.
For generations, really. The timber industry, which is a much smaller portion, but still important.
Yeah. Well, and it still is. I mean, yeah. I think there, I forget the specific fact, but he's one of the number one employers of our community still to this day. So, you know, obviously having people able and willing and ready to take that on as a career, you know, is a challenge across industries right now, is getting qualified workforce and people willing to invest in our community. So that's been really, again, eye-opening to see just some of the challenges.
So, Allison, you mentioned that, you know, get a whole bunch of applications from a diverse set of the community. And a lot of these are business folks that are coming up into kind of leadership programs from the community. Is there a particular demographic, like younger folks, more of them, or people that have only been here a year or two? Or how would you describe, you know, the folks that tend to get interested in wanting to do this?
Yeah, I would guess that the median age in our class is like 42, maybe somewhere in there. You know, we have a couple folks who are quite a bit younger, and, you know, they're either their business or their nonprofit is, you know, trying to raise them up and start them off in the right direction. We have a lot of business owners and sort of managers from the community who are sort of in a middle age group. And then we have a handful of folks who are older who are really well established in their careers. And I think that, I mean, as, you know, someone who's maybe in the younger towards the middle, like, I love having younger people than me in the class who I can kind of like see what's going on, because I'm, you know, I'm definitely not as cool as them. So
yes, you are.
It's fun to see them. And it's nice to have people who are older than me and more established to learn from as well. Right. And when we get to have a conversation after hearing from a speaker, it's great to have a diversity in age, experience, and the different sectors, because you just get to know more about your community from those connections. And I think it's a really nice mix. We have, you know, Scotchman, Peaks, and ICL, usually Idaho Conservation League, send us somebody every year, usually. Bonner General, Schweitzer, whom else? Lighthouse always send us somebody. So that's nice, because we get kind of those industry leaders and some of our nonprofit leaders come in.
So key employees that they want to really be embedded in the community.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, it's an investment. It's $400 per person. And so, yeah, I think it's people within an organization that the organization wants to invest in, wants to, you know, get their face out in the community and do the, you know, some leadership skill building. Mm-hmm.
Did you take the class yourself?
I'm in this class.
You're
yes.
In this class.
And
okay,
I mean, most of our board has done the class. Usually we actually kind of field people from the class for the board often. And I was a little behind on getting enrolled. So I'm finally doing it. I think I might be the only one on the board who hasn't done the class. So okay. Taking my turn this year. And I'm really glad I did. It's been fun.
That gets you to be the president right there.
Yeah. Well, no, just being your turn gets it. I'm not special or more qualified. It's just that it's my turn, I think.
And Becky, what got you interested in taking leadership Sandpoint?
Well, one of the best things about Sandpoint is the community. So I was sitting at the 4th of July parade, and UCAN had a float go by, and I was sitting with my neighbor, who is a local dentist in town, and she said, oh, we did them for our fundraiser. And I said, what fundraiser? And she said, oh, Leadership Sandpoint. She goes, you would love it. So when the opportunity came up to apply, I was right there to turn in my application. Mm-hmm. So I don't regret a single moment of it.
And UCAN was the nonprofit group that was
the beneficiary last year of their fundraise.
Right. Yeah. Correct.
Okay. So what's the time requirement? So somebody that's going to take Leadership Sandpoint.
It's 2 years. The program's 2 years. So the first year you do the classes and the next year you do facilitating. So the first year it's one class a month for a full day, once a month from September through May. It's our last class in May.
Yep.
And then you have a time spent on the fundraising, which, we kind of split, you know, try to split up between everybody. But, I feel like that's been maybe 4 hours a month. And as we get closer to our final fundraising, will be, you know, a couple long days. And then your second year, Dawn's in her like second year as a facilitator, so in her follow-up year. You don't have to do every class. You kind of pick a few classes to facilitate. So it's a little bit less of a time commitment for the second year. But, you know, it's kind of spaced out. So it's a good, the one long day is a long day because there's so much to see in Sandpoint. But yeah, it doesn't feel too burdensome because you get to do that day and then everything else is kind of broken up.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're with, you know, amazing people and hardworking leaders. So if there's a workload aspect of it, it's shared across the group.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's bring Dawn in. So Dawn, you've also taken Leadership Sandpoint.
Oh yeah. We picked UCAN and it was just her, Kelly's presentation was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Everybody was well, they presented really well during the competition, I guess, for the nonprofit, but yeah. Kelly's made us cry.
Mm-hmm. But in what got you interested in taking Leadership Sandpoint? Yourself.
Why did I?
Yeah.
I was approaching retirement and I wanted to keep maybe contributing in a different way in the nonprofit world before I left the earth. I thought, well, I still got a lot of energy. I should probably. And, you know, interestingly, I've been living here and working here for 30 years and some of the stuff that Kate taught us, well, actually all the people that came in taught us were just amazing. I mean, it was great to have lived here so long, and the wow factor of going to the historical museum. How about Idaho Forest Group last week? That was pretty amazing. Mm. What it takes to put your coffee on a piece of wood on a table.
Yeah. As a local, I didn't know how much I would get out of those classes, and I got so much out. I've gotten so much out of them so far. So yeah, I've been surprised as someone who spent most of my life here how much I don't know and mm-hmm. how fun it is to get to know more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the people, yes, mm-hmm. the people.
Well, let's circle back now to Becky as Leadership Sandpoint Class President. It's a lofty title there.
I know, it's a lot to live up to.
So you chose as the... Well, tell us about the process of choosing the nonprofit you're going to support with your fundraising.
Sure. So in December, we start to evaluate the nonprofits that are operational within Sandpoint. We take a look at their mission statement, how they're organized from a 501c3 status. We also look at the communities they serve, and we narrow it down. And there's quite a few nonprofits. If you're not familiar, I think there's something like roughly 150 active nonprofits in our small town. So there's quite a few, and I think there's even more that are on file. So we narrow that down to a list of 8. So it's quite a healthy discussion of how we even come up with that list. And for us, it was really about what is the greatest impact that we can make with our fundraiser. You know, we are just a small piece of a greater fundraising effort. What's the greatest impact, and what's something concrete that we can actually say we've put and helped put into the community? So that gave us a little bit of focus. And Dawn and Nami was invited to come and present then in January. So we take those 8 that we narrowed it down, and they come and they speak to us about what they're fundraising for, their greater 5-year strategic plans, the communities they serve, like I mentioned, and then a project that they're working on to fundraise so that can be something we get behind. And so Dawn most eloquently brought in a story of what NAMI is doing to support mental health, and specifically severe mental health illnesses and the needs within our community, and this fantastic program called Clubhouse International, and sharing both her own personal stories as well as the needs within the community. We realized that, gosh, there isn't a single one of us in the room that isn't impacted by mental health in some capacity, whether ourselves, family members, or loved ones. So for us, it felt like a no-brainer. And it was a difficult decision because there's a lot of need in our community, everything from housing to food to family support. So, you know, narrowing it down to what we felt was the biggest impact for our fundraising efforts was ultimately with Dawn and NAMI.
And this is something that individual class decides.
Each class decides separately. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Dawn, back to you. Tell us about NAMI Far North. That's the National Association of Mental Illness. And the Far North chapter is the chapter we have here in Bonner and Boundary Counties, I believe. tell us more about what NAMI is, what it does, how long you've been around. Give us the whole story.
That's a lot, Chris. Okay, well, NAMI's been around since 1979. They're national, and their alliance is to serve people that live with mental illness, mental health conditions, and their families. So we have about 1,000 affiliates all over the country, and NAMI Far North, Idaho, is the Sandpoint, Bonners, and Boundary County we serve. And what we do, we're a volunteer-led program, and we're also peer-led when we support and educate, which is a big deal. It takes a lot to have all this happen, but we do free support groups. We educate. We also advocate and create awareness for all of the people that are living with these conditions, which it varies. You know, any mental illness, one in five, I think, is the statistic. The ones that NAMI primarily serves are maybe the illnesses that create a function problem in our life. And those illnesses are things like schizophrenia, depression disorder, anxiety, PTSD. Those things can interfere with our people, place, and purpose in our lives. And it's really hard on everyone, the families, friends, and of course, the people that live with these conditions. So that's what NAMI really helps the most with.
There was a film in the Panada. It was called Paradise Paradox, yes. And that was, I don't know, a month and a half or so ago.
Yes.
Didn't get to see it myself, but my understanding was that and it was sponsored by Schweitzer and Altera, their new ownership. And it was a film on mental illness in mountain towns. But the thing I thought was interesting hearing about it afterwards is that the theater was almost full.
I know. We were very excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, that was indicative to me that there's might be a need that goes really, you know, under the radar.
Well, yeah, there are so many gaps in our mental health care system. And what we did when we sat down and did our strategic plan is it's looked at those gaps and which ones could we maybe fill as a nonprofit who is volunteer-based. That was a really hard task. But we did find our program. It's a gap that happens after people get treatment or hospitalization. You know, when you break your arm, Chris, you need to have physical therapy, right? You got to get your shoulder back, and it takes a while. You can't just go back on the street and start lifting things. So the brain takes so long to heal. It also is physical therapy for the brain to have a recovery system in place. We used to have them in the 70s. 60s and 70s, and then all of a sudden we just started cutting everything, and this one got cut too. Mm-hmm. And it was the most important because with serious mental illness, there is a recovery rate. Everybody gets a chance to recover, or they should anyway. And that's not wasn't happening. It's not happening in our nation the way it really could be. People get out of the hospital, and they don't have their people, place, and purpose anymore, and they don't have help for that. And it leaves a lot of people unserved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you really see it in the bigger cities where you see the homeless folks that many of them are struggling with mental illness conditions. So, well, the specific thing that Leadership Sandpoint's raising money for is your clubhouse project. So I want to ask you about that. And then I want to come back and find out what these fundraisers are all about. So.
Right. Well, we found a program. We didn't want to reinvent the wheel. It was too complicated. So it's called psychosocial rehabilitation. And we do this through a day facility. We model our facility after Clubhouse International, which has 37 standards of care. So we know that, and it's also data driven. So they know it works. And so through participation, members can come for free and for lifetime and build relationships through their work. So it's not really it's not a pool hall. Not going to be any couches in our facility. We will be having a work order day and a very inclusive environment where the staff and the members, there's no hierarchy. So when you go in a clubhouse, you don't know who is who. So it's a very unique thing to have in a recovery system, because there's no clinicians in there telling you, you need to take your meds. Mm-hmm. It's not like that. And people care about each other in that clubhouse, so they want to come back. They come back every day and they build their lives around it.
Mm-hmm. And so specifically, you need the facility now.
We do have a facility.
Oh, you do?
Thanks to Sandpoint Leadership, mm-hmm. we were brave enough to sign up for a one-year lease over at in Sandpoint, downtown Sandpoint. We find a cute little house that most everyone in town has been in if they've seen a therapist, because this was an old therapist office.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, is it kind of behind Safeway?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, it's, in that area there.
It's in the therapy district.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so specifically, the money you're raising is going to help you with that lease. Yeah.
I said people, place, and purpose. Yeah. Well, Sandpoint Leadership is going to provide our place, hopefully, and I don't know what they're up to right now. They've been working really hard, and NAMI Far North is super grateful. We were shocked when you picked us, but we really appreciate it.
So we'll turn to the fundraising piece of this, and this is where listeners can actually chip in and help it too if you get inspired. Tell us about, you got a couple of, that I know about, fundraising happenings coming up. What are they?
We do. So the big event is for NAMI Far North. We are going to have a fantastic party on Cinco de Mayo, May 5th. We'll block off part of Main Street in front of 113 Main, and we are going to have a taco competition. Vote for your best taco. We are going to have live music. We're going to have drinks. We're going to have games for the family. We want you to come out. Weather sometimes a little tricky, but you know what? We'll be there. We have tents. We're ready. And so May 5th is our big event.
That's Sunday, right?
It is Sunday.
It is a Sunday.
That's
nice. It's noon to 4, so you can get lunch, you can get dinner, like, you know.
Absolutely.
It's in the middle, so you can still do all your other things.
Yep. Come after church or whatever activities you have in the morning.
But there's going to be food, it sounds
absolutely.
Like.
Absolutely. There's food,
okay.
There's
so come
games.
Hungry.
Come hungry. There's dancing, there's music. So that's our big event. We're asking at a macro level sponsorship. If you're interested, we have a variety of donation levels where we will showcase your organization's logo on all of our materials. So that's one opportunity to donate. I would say at an individual level, because again, mental health impacts us all. If this is something you feel so inspired to support, just go on the Chamber website and you can donate directly to our fundraiser that way. And then the third way, which is kind of fun, our team's a little excited about this. We have a way to spread the word, and it's called flocking. So this is something I believe was done last year as well. We have a flock of wild plastic flamingos that may appear on your front lawn or your business entry. And we ask for a $50 donation. You can flock someone else and have them appear at your neighbor's lawn or, you know, a local business. So that, again, you can go on the Chamber website and go ahead and sign up for the flocking. You can pick what time or day you would like. And that's just a fun way to spread the word about our Cinco de Mayo event. Also, to continue to raise money over the month of April. So that starts April 1st.
Okay. I'm just curious, do you have flocking insurance? Do you offer that as
if
well?
If you are so inspired that you absolutely do not want a flock on your lawn, you may pay if you would like to, but it's not required. I know there are some people who really do not want these birds around. So you can certainly, again, click on the Chamber and say, please do not. I'm happy to donate to avoid the birds.
Head them off at the pass.
That's right.
Okay, so we may see around town these flock of whole bunch of these plastic pink flamingos out on the lawn or out in front of a business. And that means that that individual has been flocked.
Correct. Correct.
The proper terminology is you've been flocked.
You have been flocked. Yes.
All right. Well, that sounds pretty fun. And you can actually get a kind of a visual snapshot of it on the Chamber website. There's information about Cinco de Mayo and flocking. And there's a form to flock somebody there, so you can go there, and you can, if you got a neighbor, a business person that you want to get flocked, you can click and go to that form. That's if you go to sandpointchamber.org, click under events and go to the Cinco de Mayo event. You'll see a form there, a button for a form there, and I mean, I have in mind some folks that I want to flock. What if I want to flock a business person that doesn't have a lawn? How do we handle the flamingos in that case?
I say send us a note and we'll figure it out. We'll make it work, because it's so, for us, spreading the word is so important. What Don and Nami's doing, we'll get creative.
Okay. Because I'm thinking, you know, I might be going for Jim.
So,
Jim Z.
Ooh.
No, I don't know if you can guess who that might be, but.
Look out, Jim.
Mm-hmm. We can get like some buckets or stands to put
them we'll make it work.
By the door.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, good. and is there, so the fee, you can go to the website and see more about, you know, what the cost is to be a contributor in a fun sort of way. At the Single Day Mile event, is there also an auction component there?
There is. So that is another piece. If you have been called by any number of our leadership members, we have been shamelessly calling most businesses in town. We understand, obviously, that we're one of many calls, so we appreciate your time. But we are looking for donation items for silent auction as well. We have been very blessed to be gifted opportunities for a Switzer pass, which is a huge opportunity. If you've not had that before, that will be up for silent auction.
And this is a corporate pass.
It's a corporate
pass. So it's like an $1,800 value, because anybody in a company or anybody you want to loan it to can use it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's been wonderful. So that'll be up for auction. And then we have a number of other auction items, varying from hotel stays to gift baskets to all kinds of different things. So definitely come out. Those are always a great gift to either give or to use yourself. So we'll have that as well.
Yeah, and we don't have any entry fee for the event. So we want you to come in, spend some money on the auction, spend some money on the raffle, spend some money on the food vendors and drinks. We will get a percentage of that back to give to NAMI. And NAMI will be present as well. So if you want to come talk to Don and learn more about NAMI and get some materials on that, it's a good opportunity to do that as well.
Mm-hmm. And again, that's Cinco de Mayo, which means 5th of May. it's going to be the block party in front of 113 Cedar. That whole block's off?
Is 113 off? Yeah. Main from 1st to 2nd.
Excuse me, 113 Main.
Yep, that whole block, and we'll have a row of food vendors and drinks. Justin at from 113 will have margaritas out there. We know Pat River is going to come. We're going to have some tents with kids games and just kind of trying to make it so you guys can come and hang out for the day.
Mm-hmm. And you do have a couple sponsors already. Schweitzer is a sponsor, and Backcountry Electric is a sponsor, because I see that on the webpage.
Mm-hmm.
If folks want to be sponsors, you said there's some tiers of sponsorship.
There are, depending on your donation level. You can be on a number of different items. Our signs that will go around town, the website, T-shirts, that sort of thing. So we're happy to broadcast and showcase your business logo for donation to sponsor the event.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, if you just tuned in, we've been talking about Leadership Sandpoint and this year's fundraiser for NAMI Far North. We're talking with Don Mira, Becky Grace, Allison Dunbar. Is there anything else you guys would like to put in about the event, about Leadership Sandpoint, about NAMI?
I want to say something. Okay. It's not going to rain.
On May 5th.
If it does by chance, because it has for the past 5 years, we will have so many umbrellas. And last year was really fun, even though it poured.
We're going to have some tents and some tables for people to hide under. And inevitably, the more money we spend on a tent, the less likely it will rain. But we are going to try to have a backup plan in case it's pouring. And we're going to have some heaters. So hopefully it'll be nice enough for you to hang out and spend the day with us.
Yeah, May 5th is a coin flip for sure.
We're going to do we're going to have a prayer circle for no rain.
And they'll also be, will 113 Main be open?
Yes, they will also be open, so we can funnel you right in.
And right across the street is the Music Conservatory. I don't know if they could provide some shelter.
Yeah,
that
good idea.
I would just add, you know, every little bit helps. This is for a fantastic cause. And even $5, you know, is one day closer to keeping the clubhouse open. So our goal is to raise $10,000, but it's $55 a day to, you know, keep it open. So whatever we can raise keeps that service available for our community. So every little bit helps.
Mm-hmm. And I mentioned on the webpage on sandpointchamber.org, go to the events Cinco de Mayo. There is a straight up donate button there so people can just donate without any strings attached. So Allison, Becky, and Don, I want to say thank you for coming in and filling us in on this terrific event and also a worthy fundraiser that it is. Anything else you want to tell your listening public out there?
No, I'm just thankful for the time, Chris. Thanks for inviting us.